back. We are back. So this is Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. This is Lee sitting in for Phil Williams. And the text lines are open, guys. So please make sure and text me responses. Let me know what you think. Can't wait to hear what my score is, John, at the end of the time. I'm hoping to get to all three different so I get that A triple plus.
I think you should get the A triple plus just for being here and braving the show. So,
well, I'm not new, so I feel like I have enough experience that I shouldn't get too much of a too much of an extra bump for that. But excited to be here, though, nonetheless. I did want to say TL from Huntsville said, "Great job, Lee, a monologue to melt the hardest of hearts for a festive and charitable holiday season. Redemption is needed by all." Amen, TL. We all need redemption, don't we? Also had Jeremy from Huntsville, who was going to be really clever. Bravo, great monologue. God bless us all, everyone. I totally agree. Got a little Tiny Tim in there. It was a little shocking, Butters, that when I saw that he was going to kill off Tiny Tim.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad. I'm glad you're here today. I learned something about Dickens. So,
If you have Prime, I think it's Prime or it could be Hulu. It's called The Man Who Saved Christmas. So I suggest watching it. It's very interesting. Although the actor, he was on Downton Abbey. I can't remember his name, but much better looking than Dickens. Like if you look up a picture of Dickens, but Dickens had 10 kids, so obviously there was something there. But
yeah.
I couldn't believe it when I saw it, and thank God for that Irish, chambermaid there, because she was right on. She just begged him not to kill Tiny Tim and just cried about it. And I'm like, amen. What would it be if he did? And then there was no redemption for Scrooge, and he just, went on and died. That would just be so depressing.
Well, so during the break there, we were discussing it's Spirited on Apple TV. I don't know if anybody's watched that. Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds, of course, not a really Christian-centric, but all a different twist on the Dickens, the Dickens story, and a lot of fun. So I actually happened to watch that last night, so it was great.
You were telling me the premise, and that sounds really interesting.
I think it came out last year, so recommend if you're looking for a little Christmas fun. It's a musical style, so if you don't like musicals, then Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds, it's gonna be hysterical.
They're both so good. I don't like everything of Will Ferrell's, but I like most, especially Talladega Nights, the 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. That's one of my favorites. But Ryan Reynolds is just always good. He's just such a good comedian. He comes across so well. And you saying that he kind of plays the protagonist in there, I can't imagine him playing a character that's hard-hearted because he's... Like, he's always so nice.
Well, and that's the interesting thing it's more not necessarily hard-hearted, as he's just a busy business mm-hmm. guy and doesn't want to deal with kids and doesn't like he's doing the thing. And that's actually, fairly in line with, the politics of today he works, consulting for politicians and creating commotion and telling false stories and, pushing false narratives and the turmoil that can create. And I was very well done. So,
I know it's a year old, but yeah. I'll have to check that out. Although I guess Mankind was his business, but maybe not in the right way. Manipulating
yes,
mankind.
Yes, but no, it was it's a good one. So
sounds like it.
I'm looking forward to the Daily Wire crowd doing some new spin on Dickens. That could be a lot of fun. But I don't know what all they've got in the hopper. So
have you ever seen a Christmas Carol like gone in Huntsville? They have it at Fantasy Playhouse every year.
I have not.
It's really good. There's there was an attorney in Huntsville that did it for years. Rankin Sneed. Oh, man. You know, attorneys have to have a flair for the dramatic anyway.
Yeah.
So he was great. He was a really good. They have quality acting. Like a lot of times you go to, you know, smaller, you know, acting groups and, it, you know, it's kind of iffy. This is really well done. I highly encourage anyone to go. And a lot of times they'll have extra tickets. You can just call and ask. So we go every year and just really love it. It's just part of our Christmas routine.
Well,
Tinsel Trail, that, you know, Nutcracker, you name it. I'm a holiday person.
I'm curious. We're actually getting some good texts in here, guys. What is the routine around Northeast Alabama? What do you guys do as kind of your family traditions? Love to hear from you.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody else is a Christmas Carol person like me or the tinsel. I love the Tinsel Trail. That's always fun to go and look, and you know, there's always some great trees. Have you ever been walk through that?
I have not. I haven't been.
Dude,
been
you got to get up to Huntsville.
Well, so I actually, as a reservist, I drilled up on Redstone a lot. Spent a number of years when I got off active duty. So I'm not an Alabama guy. I grew up in South Carolina and been here for, I guess now 12 years. So I guess I'm a.
So you're an Alabama guy now?
Yeah, I guess so. I get. Yeah. All right. Fine. I'll go to Huntsville.
You chose a school that's required when you move here.
I went to school there. So.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you're I went an actual to Auburn. Graduate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So. All right. That's legit.
No, I love Huntsville. Just I guess I just don't get out much. Sorry, I'm stuck here in the studio.
That's true. No. That's true. But there's just a lot of fun things to do during the holidays. I really enjoy it. It's a time of year where people are just happier and usually more polite, nicer, everybody's smiling. You get to say Merry Christmas. It's just, I don't know. People seem to have spring in their step. So it's kind of fun to go out and do things.
Yeah. I grew up caroling as a kid. That was one of the traditions. I was always kind of marked that, and that's not something I've really done in my adulthood. And I don't know, these days, you know, it's just, I don't know, strangers knocking on doors is just not. So maybe if we text your neighbors, hey, I'm about to come sing, you want to come stand out on the porch?
Do you know where that came from, where caroling came from?
No, I didn't.
The Saturnalia celebration, they would carol, and sometimes in like sheer garments. Can you imagine if your neighbor showed up like,
yeah,
in sheer garments singing?
Yeah, I don't know these days.
Exactly. But that originated, I believe, with you know, that time period that long ago. They would go around and sing. Of course, they were all, you know, drinking as well. So I mean, hilarity ensued. But goodness.
Well, I would have been yeah. So I don't know. I haven't had carolers come to my house in really pretty much since I've been an adult. So does anybody still do that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a very long time for me. So yeah, I agree. Yeah.
All right.
Well, we'll be back shortly. Y'all hang on.
All you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
Welcome back. This is Lee sitting in for Phil Williams and just kind of talking about some Christmas things that we enjoy doing at Christmas time, fun activities, movies. And I do want to mention, John from Huntsville said, I think there should be a Hallmark movie starring Butters and Lee. What would the title of that be?
I'm not sure, and we don't need anyone to text in, so don't recommend any titles. Maybe Trainwreck. I don't know.
I think we're doing okay.
Oh, I think we're doing great. It's a Friday. I mean, how bad can it get?
That's so. What I say. Butters and Lee's kind of already sounds like a cookie mix, you know, or something.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll hash out mix. We'll hash out a business plan on the next break. So
JT from Lacey Springs said, Lee, you're off to a good start. Since you're all about football punting, we have seen how good of a senator Tuberville is. Imagine how great a president Saban would be. And my answer is absolutely not. No, we're not sharing him with the country. And the process won't work with senators because they are not college students who are on board. So they would laugh at the process. So no, sadly, we want to keep him right in Tuscaloosa. But I appreciate
he wouldn't probably get any votes from Florida State fans. So might.
Oh, you don't think so? He'd lose Florida?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Florida fans might hate voting, you know, because isn't that their big rival?
I don't know.
Okay. I think he's pretty good, but you'd have the whole entire state of Alabama practically. And I just think that was a very funny comment. So thank you for that. And Brian mentioned that everyone is happier except when driving. So that's probably true. That's probably true. There's still aggressive drivers out there. Well, on to my first dipper. Got to make sure I get all those in. You know, John's grading me right now.
Absolutely.
Talking about dinks, and it's funny because I entitled it Dinks Are on the Rise. And if those of you aren't familiar, a dink is it's an acronym for dual income, no kids, which is funny because one of my children let me know that they were a dink. And it was right before I was going to talk about this, and I thought that was funny. Maybe because there was, this has been talked about a lot because there's this couple that did some videos on X, which drew comments from the big man himself. So this couple named Lily and Evan from Utah, they put these videos out saying things like, we're dinks. We're going to get asked daily when we plan on having kids. We're dinks. Of course we're going to go out to eat every night after work. You know, they add things like, I don't have to, they didn't have to ask their family for financial help or babysitters. And they go to Costco and bulk buy all the snacks they want. They sound, you know, 14. And the other things they mentioned were how much disposable income they had to spend on what they wanted and the freedom to go to football games or play golf whenever they wanted to. So I thought all that, you know, yeah, that's nice. Most of us are in that space for at least some portion of time after we get together with our spouse, right? I mean, you know, you're going to have I remember thinking, you know, when I had my first child, that it was like an act of Congress to get out of the house and how much easier it was before when you didn't have that. So I do agree. There are some things that are interesting. But it was funny because the comments, I don't think, were what they expected. So Butters, one person said, congrats, you're both genetic dead ends. I was like, geez.
That's harsh.
Yeah. And someone else said, enjoy your highly depressive and meaningless existence. Yikes. I mean, I personally don't think everyone is meant to have children. I think it's fine. You know, some people are just not kids people. And some people with kids shouldn't be kids people, but yet they have them. I think you can probably agree with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think that it was interesting to see Elon's response. And so to have him reply to that, you know, it's going to send it into the stratosphere. So these people are like plastered everywhere now. But his response was, there is an awful morality to those who deliberately have no kids. They are effectively demanding that other people's kids take care of them in their old age. That's messed up. So I think what he's referring to, of course, is just because at this point you can pay into Medicare and Medicaid, but you're just paying for those that are right, you know, one generation above you. It's not like you're actually putting away money for yourself, essentially.
And I think it is. I mean, it's the natural progression of society, right? I mean, even if you set our modern complex economy aside, you know, it's the basics that. Okay, you're productive and productive, and then in your older age, somebody else is providing for you in some way. That's an interesting take from Elon Musk on intentionally not having kids. Although I do hear a lot of conversation going on about, there's a lot of the 20 somethings that are choosing even not to marry, and the, mm-hmm. the fertility rates and the child. I think I heard a statistic not long ago that, like, for the first time in history, you've got more 40-year-old women with kids than you do 20-year-old women. That is wild.
And that's a little
don't
bit,
quote me on that. I need to go look up that statistic. But
that's kind of scary, too, because the older you get, the more chance of mutations and problems and, you know. Your prime fertility is at 20, actually. Not that I'm saying that you should have kids at 20, but I'm saying that, genetically, in your body, that's your prime time. I don't know. I think I get what he's saying, but at the same time, he has 10 children, So I'm like, well, that changes the way you look at his comment a bit. He definitely believes in propagating, right? But I often wonder, this is a really big trend on TikTok. And I think it's trending because the Western world's, our replacement rate is dropping like a stone. We're going to have a population deficit that's extreme in like 30, 40 years. It's going to go off a cliff. And because the less kids, people that have children, that's less children to have even less children. It's a very fast twist down the drain. And I think that one of the biggest problems in our future is going to be too little population, not too much. And I think this is encouraging the Western world, while in certain, other parts of the world, they're pushing children. I mean, China's pushing like 3 children, where for years they had that one child policy and it bit them.
Yeah. And there's some analysts out there that I've seen that are actually, one in particular is saying that China, they held that policy for too long, which might also be an argument for trying to use the government to manage your population growth. Maybe not a great idea, but they're already like too late. I mean, he in fact is saying, China may be done in a decade.
That's why they're trying so hard right now. Yeah. And they're paying people. South Korea's, they're going to go off a cliff much sooner than everybody else. And they're actually paying them something like $600 or $700 a month per child or something like that to have children. So, they can see it coming.
Well, I will say in the caveat to all that is, to each his own. If you don't want to have kids, but it is an interesting conversation to have. It's one thing at a personal level, but then you take it at a societal level. Mm-hmm. Society level. Obviously, if everyone chooses to do that, then said society will it'll wither away. So.
I mean, if you want to destroy a civilization from within, just disrupt their birth rate. That's going to have a big effect right there. And then turn the sexes against each other and make them adversarial instead of what we have been for thousands of years, which is toiling together through difficult times, right? I mean, yes, you can say a lot of things about how men treated women, et cetera. But overall, everybody's had to work really hard. It's only been within the last, 100 years, 120 years that, automation of things and life became easier. And really not since the 60s when birth control became widely available that you could really even control your family and your birth rate. So, but I do think that China obviously owns TikTok. And if you want to push an agenda, that's a way to do it, is to make videos glorifying a childless life. But my children are the greatest thing I ever did. Not that I really did it, but they're my greatest joy. And for me, I couldn't imagine not having them. And I couldn't imagine just missing that love in my life. And, TikTok isn't going to hold your hand when you're in the, old folks home and tell you they love you. That's going to be your children and your family. And to me, children are worth it. They're worth the struggle and they're worth the pain and suffering you go through raising them. But I think that encouraging people, oh, childless is so much more fun. There's just a lot to that. And by the time you figure out that maybe you shouldn't have taken that path, sometimes it's too late.
Well, and that's, I mean, there's, I'm hearing there's even people that are, you know, at a younger age, you know, doing things like freezing embryos and, yeah. And, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know. It's, I don't know how I happen upon, I think it's one of like Jordan Peterson podcast or something that I listened to and like, wow, I didn't even, my oldest is 17, so I haven't started to, I mean, obviously I have worries, you know, but not intentional thoughts of, hey, all right, starting a family and all that kind of stuff. Even down to a lot of the 20 somethings choosing just not to marry. Really not even a date, not to engage. And I mean, that's,
I'll have some more weird to say about that on the other side.
Well,
more
you
to say on that.
You want to take it to a break?
Yeah, let's take it to a break and we'll talk a little bit more.
All right. Let me get.
But I will say that all of y'all look up Dinks and look up those videos. It's quite amusing to watch them. They're very smug. Welcome back. It's Lee, and I am sitting in for Phil Williams today and enjoying our conversation on Dinks, dual income, no kids, where they're just all over Twitter talking about how awesome it is to not have children, which I personally think is kind of pushed in a societal way, especially on Western countries. Don't have kids, don't, you know. They even tried ecologically, you know, oh, it's better for the planet if you don't have kids. Notice they're not saying that to every country, just Western countries. I've got a lot of great comments. Jerry from Decatur, the progressive answers to low birth weight and abortion may be open borders just to sustain a workforce that will meet our nation's needs. Let's keep on playing God. I'm sure all our efforts will backfire. I just don't know if importing the loss of population, I think that it can change the overall culture when you import another culture into the United States. And I think we can't just replace our population loss with another country because eventually it's going to fundamentally change who we are. You know, I think immigrants are fantastic and I think they're needed, but I don't think you use them to replace the birth rate. What do you think, Better?
Yeah, I think... I think if you go relative to history, I mean, the conditions that we're living in are, and you mentioned earlier things like birth control mm-hmm. and the modern technologies and the ease of life, the people, I mean, just the medical system, the people that are alive today that shouldn't, you know, I'll say shouldn't or wouldn't have been alive, mm-hmm. you know, 100 years ago. You know, I don't know that we've really had enough data points to really understand the cause and effects of a lot of this stuff. So, you know, a lot of that discussion of immigration and like, and I don't know. I mean, if anybody's got any ideas on a time in history when a society intentionally decreased themselves, but I don't know that that's necessarily been that much. Like, you really haven't had much of a choice.
Successful.
Yeah, you haven't had that much of a choice. You know, people are having kids and your birth rate and all that kind of stuff. Not much you could do about it.
I just don't think, you know, they could do a study true birth control because you didn't have control over it. But I will say this, we're in kind of a controlled study right now when you look at Europe and seeing some of the, because you bring in populations that won't assimilate at all. You're just bringing in where you have pockets in your own country of another country instead of assimilation and melting pot like the U.S. always used to be. You know, in Europe, it's just very much just, you know, no-go zones and places where it's, you know, a little version of their country and not in a good way. So I think you can see that right now. And I haven't really seen anywhere in Europe that it's been very successful. They're really starting to push back and elect much more conservative leaders in countries that that's never happened before.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so if you sit back and are going to take the, have the attitude of, hey, the immigrants, the people coming in are going to replace our population, then don't be unhappy when you turn around and they can outvote you in a democratic society. And,
exactly.
You know.
And that's the way it will go. Yep. Yeah, that's the way it will go. And then you just have less and less. And I think it overall dilutes the culture of the United States, because we do have a culture, even though we're a melting pot. So I would just say you have to be very careful on your path as far as that goes. I loved a response I got from Marcus in Huntsville about dinks. He said, I don't believe people have to have kids, but people that don't have kids trying to explain to the people that have them why they're better off is asinine. People that don't have kids don't know what it's like to have them, but people that have kids remember what it was like before children. I think that's 100% correct. You really can't know.
So what are the age, the folks that are trending on X? What was the age of
20s?
20s?
Yeah.
So there's also the, perspective of what the heck? I thought I knew a lot when I was 20. And now, in my 40s, I know that I knew very much nothing. So whether you have kids or don't have kids, even if you've got kids as a 20-year-old, great.
Yeah. I've looked at my 20-year-old child and have said before, I'm so glad you have it figured out.
Yes.
It's awesome. Yes. Because I know they don't, but...
I'm a little envious of the bliss that you have and the thought that everything, I got it all figured out. So
actually my oldest pretty much does have it figured out. This child is a very, high level, high functioning, determined child. And don't worry a bit about that one. The younger ones, I don't know. We'll wait and see. But what I think about all this is kind of a long-term result of feminism, right? You don't need children. Or really, when you look at it as a whole, how, there's not even a lot of dating and a lot of marriage, is that whole women need men like a fish need a bicycle line that was big in feminism in the 60s and 70s, right? So I think a lot of it is just, let's put these two groups, pit them against each other, and cause... mistrust, confusion, make dating difficult. And I'm so surprised at how fast that's happened and how different it is for my kids than it was for me. I mean, it's radically different. Do you not think? I mean,
I think there's, just in the last 10 or 15 years we've had, but I mean, the internet, I mean, when we were growing up, the internet just has changed the fundamental face of society and how we communicate.
Yeah.
In a lot of really great ways, and a lot of not so great ways. Although I would argue, before everybody goes and jumps on the bandwagon, that internet and social media have ruined everything. People haven't fundamentally changed. We're about the same as we've always been.
There's nothing new under the sun ever, but I think there's just new ways to confuse them and new ways to feel left out and to feel less than, and social media does contribute.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I think we're going to take it to a break, and when we come back, are you expecting a caller?
I am. We're going to start talking about libraries next hour.
All right. Awesome. We'll see you guys in just a minute.
Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.